Hi guys, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year in advance. My name is Ozuma. Welcome to my podcast. Really lovely to have you here. If you're new here, well, hello, happy to have you here. If you're a returning subscriber or listener, you guys made my year, man. Thank you so much for always listening. So today, I'm going to be starting the My 2021 Story series. And for the past few years, I've been running this project board on my blog where, towards the end of the year, actually the last week of the year, or last couple of days of the year, we would talk about we would feature guests, people that are in my circle, friends, family, mentors, people that I highly respect, to talk about how their year was. And the whole point of it is just to experience the year through their own lenses and be encouraged and also learn one or two lessons. And that's the whole point of this. So this year I decided for us to have it a podcast version, and I hope that it comes out well. I think that it will. I already have had the conversations and the recordings of these people, and I'm just ready to be putting it all out one by one. So yes, today I'll be starting with my own My 2021 story, and subsequently the next couple of days that will follow will be one person from my guest list sharing about their year. So please stay tuned, listen to today's, but also please listen to the other guys on. You would actually learn a lot. I learned a lot while having conversations with these guys. And yes, so as you may know, my voice probably is not this deep or weird, but I'm dealing with some flu cold situation, so please pardon me. Yes, that's it. I know that COVID is flying around, so what I'm doing is currently isolating. I've been isolating since I started having my feeling this way. It's cold, so it truly might just be cold, flu-ish. But until I get a test and I confirm that I'm clear, I don't want to be mixing with anybody, just because you don't know what it is, right? And if your body can handle it, doesn't mean the next person's body can't. So yes, I guess that's the right thing to do. So delving right into it. So today is Christmas, and thinking back to Christmas 2020 and how the year ended, where was I? Well, I was in my village with my entire family for the first time. We were together like that for the first time in, I think it's been 3 years that we've been together. I mean, with my older sister. And it's been very long since we're together like that with my extended family. So it was really good in between fighting, settling quarrels with my nieces and the other cousins in the house, trying to get whose balloon is what, and family tales. It was a really nice one. So we got back to Lagos after Christmas, and then crossover last year. I'm trying to go back to the state of mind that was in when I got into the year. I think it was Lagos State Government that just announced that crossovers could not hold or something past a certain time. So we were just having it at home. My dad organized the service for us. We prayed, we danced, we worshipped, and it was good. And I wasn't really thinking about the year per se, because when I'm home, I'm in a different state of mind. It's almost as if I'm not settled. I'm like, I'm traveling very soon. So I was in between a lot of stuff, so I couldn't even sit properly and plan. And then the year went on and went on, and I had to travel back to Rwanda to finish my master's before the end of January. And that was when the first hit struck. By the time I got back to Rwanda, I realized I had COVID. It was weird because when I was leaving Nigeria, my test was negative, and then when I got to Rwanda, it was positive. So my guess was I already had it, but it wasn't I wasn't asymptomatic, whatever that thing is called. So that was the beginning of my year. So my year kind of started on that note, trying to struggle for my life, and it hit me, well, not so bad, to be honest. It was kind of mild, but it was a bit scary because I started to have some issues in between. And what was more scary was some members of my family that were affected, and they were hit really bad. You guys, that is when I first understood what fear meant, because I couldn't sleep. I was afraid that the next call that I would get would be bad news. And honestly, looking back right now, honestly, all I can say is that God is faithful, because only Him could have done it. Because I don't even want to go back, but I thank God for that. So that was my major win for the year, God preserving myself and my family, restoring our health. And then the year went on, and then after that episode was kind of over, I started to settle down to finish my schoolwork. And to be honest, coming into the year, right, I had just two major goals: finish this grad school in one piece, just finish. I wasn't aiming to be the best. I wasn't aiming to be no speaker. I wasn't aiming to receive no award. I wasn't aiming at nothing. I just wanted to finish, graduate in peace, and get into like a PhD program, kinda. So I had that as a plan for the next year or two. It wasn't something that I had to do. I was thinking that if I didn't get it, because the place that I wanted to, some people were saying funding was difficult to get in the country that I was interested in. So me, I was like, okay, you know what, if this doesn't work, I was already speaking with were they recruiters, okay, managers, I was already speaking with a partner actually from a consulting firm that I was very interested in. And we're having conversations around recruiting, even though that was slow. So I kind of had like just two major things: finish graduation and get something to do afterwards. Yeah, and that was the only thing on my list. And I mean, it was going all right. Towards the end of my master's, I started to have some some serious issues. Well, not serious per se, but I think it was serious with my thesis. There was some miscommunication, I would say, between what was expected of me. I don't know how I missed what I missed, but towards the end of my stay in school, I had to work like doubly hard. Like, I was working and I was actually very scared that I wasn't going to be able to get the grade that I needed. But I thank God, God came through for me. And yes, I guess that's how my year began. I was praying and worshiping some 2-3 days ago, and when I was just giving thanks, right, I was going through my year mentally, going through January, thank God for January, February, thank God for February, down to December. You know what I realized that every month came with issues in this year. Like, every month came with stress, not stress, but it came to stress me. I don't know how to explain it. Every month came with its own trials and temptations. Every single month from January. And thinking back, I was just thanking God. And I'm like, oh, I really didn't get a break this year. And yeah. So graduation happened in May, thank God. If I finished okay. I got the grades that I needed to graduate well. I did well with my thesis. I was able to round up neatly and in one piece. And then in June, that was when I started to have a bit of challenge with my health. I had to go through a surgical procedure and it kind of took me off my feet for a bit. And that was not funny, because I was in this foreign land. I was in Rwanda. I was alone. My housemates and most of the people that I knew-ish had traveled back home after school. So it was just weird. It was a really, really weird period of time for me. And I think that, you know, I would say that it was a win for me, because eventually God helped me through the surgery. I got better. I'm still having to do, you know, slow exercises and therapy to strengthen myself and all. I mean, till today. But I think that the biggest testimony or the biggest lesson from that period is understanding that, you know, God is actually a comforter. I got to experience God as a comforter. I got to experience God in a way that can never be taken away from me. Do you understand? And that is a win for me. When you're alone and you actually look around and you see that all that you've got is God, and you see God actually coming through for you, you actually feel the warmth and the comfort of God for you. God actually starts to send you strangers. I remember that God sent me this very lovely taxi man. I don't even know how he saw me, or I don't even know who connected me to him. The man was so helpful, to the extent that he was even helping me get like my, he didn't really understand English, but he was speaking Kiaranda, and he was helping me to get like stuff, groceries. And even when I would give him like extra monies, like even he would even let me like drive me without me paying. I'm like, what if I run away with your money, sir? You know, so I got really favored in different ways. You know, nurses and doctors, people that were really kind. My physiotherapist was a really warm person, and you know, God just sent me help in a way that I didn't feel as though I was alone. And I guess that's where I would start drawing lessons from. You know, many times people think that, oh, because you're Christian or because you're a good person, even if you're not religious, well, you're a good person, so life should be good to you. It doesn't exactly work that way. Good things and bad things happen to
everyone, honestly. Like, it's not because you're the best that you got that opportunity or scholarship or whatever, or that job, and it's not because you are the worst person on the earth that's why you're sick, or that's why you lost a family member, that's why you're going through a hard time. It's just life. What makes the difference is how we go through the seasons of abundance or the seasons of trials and temptation. What makes the difference as a Christian is how you go through it, and the fact that you hold on to God through it. You know, that's why the psalmist could say, when I pass through the valley of shadow of death, not if. And then he would say in Isaiah that when I pass through fire, I won't get burnt. When, not if. So hard times will come, and it's a mindset to actually have, to develop a resilience, you know, such that when these things come, they don't knock you off your feet. They don't get you to a point where you're like, psst, I don't believe in God again. Or they don't get you to a point where you're like, well, I'm just living my life, I don't have any purpose again. No, hard times will come, but it's your attitude to it that really matters. June went by, I had not even recovered from the procedure that I had when July happened, and I had another emergency in the middle of the night. I think it was about 3 a.m. It was lockdown and I was in pains. I was losing my mind. I was in pains, and oh God, I was home alone. I didn't even know what to do because I'd never had to call like emergency in Rwanda. I was so confused, and I just tried to call the taxi, Yego cabs, and thankfully they were open, and then I went through with them, and the guy was just like, he doesn't even know if he's going to run into police people. But I'm like, well, you will just have to explain to them. Thankfully we didn't run into any of them, and you know, I got to the hospital in time and I got treated, and well, it was a long story. I don't know if I want to delve into it, but there was something, you know, that the doctors noticed that required another surgery, and I think that was where I lost it. I'm like, oh God, you've got to come through for me. I am not doing this. If I'm not doing this surgery, I am not going to have surgery for the next couple of years. I mean, I was really tired, and God is so faithful because He started to heal me in a way that the doctors didn't understand. And I remember that the doctor that was seeing me was like, the first time that he saw me after that day, I went back home, and I came back, he's like, I don't know what's going on with you, this girl, what are you taking? He was actually thinking that I was taking some drugs or some things to, I mean, because what he was seeing wasn't what he saw 2-3 days ago, right? And I remember in his words, he was like, this is a miracle, whatever you're doing, please go and continue doing that. Yes, I was doing communion at home, so I wasn't really surprised by the result, even though I was kind of surprised. Yeah, so slowly and slowly, you know, I got my healing, and you know, months after, I went again for the scan and everything was gone. And I guess this is where I pull second lesson. Sometimes we think that healing is once, right? And yeah, God is faithful. God can do instant healing, you know, but sometimes healing is also a process, right? Healing sometimes is a process. When I speak of healing now, I'm talking about physical healing, emotional healing, whether you've been going through something and you're like, God, why am I still feeling heartbroken? Why am I still feeling grief? Why am I still feeling down? Well, sometimes healing is a process, and healing as a process and healing instantly, they are both miraculous. I don't know if you get what I mean. Both of them are miraculous. You don't need to think that God is not in your healing process because it's taking time. That's not true. God is as much in the healing as a process as He is in the healing, which is an instant. And that's why there's this story where Jesus was healing this blind man, right? And he was rubbing something on the guy's eyes, and guy's like, he couldn't see. At first, he could only see men as trees. And then after a while, Jesus did it again, and then he could see clearly. And for me, that's really significant lesson, and it's something to also hold as a believer, whether you're trusting for a healing, you're trusting for a miracle. Understand that sometimes these things are processes. It doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. It's just a process, and that's it. I mean, the goal is healing. Hey, we'll all get there, right? However the Lord chooses to get us to that healing, it's His business, and we'll be thankful for it as long as it gets us to that end point. And that's the major lesson that I learned in 2021, not pertaining, well, in the context of healing, but also, you know, affecting other areas of my life, understanding that, you know, it's the process that's important. And you know, it's great that I got the healing, but when I look back, honestly, I think the bigger testimony is the transformation of my heart through that process. you know, transformation of my heart, my heart learning to have faith, my heart learning to obey simple nudges and instructions, my heart learning to trust God, my heart learning to be comforted in the Holy Spirit. Honestly, there are things they built in me some level of resilience that I was laughing the other day because I was comparing myself to a gig bread. I was like, apart from the fact that I like to think that I'm soft like a cake and bread, I also like to think that I'm resilient. Like, if you press me, I'm gonna bounce back. Yeah, whatever it is that the devil throws at me, I say it with, you know, all humility and with the grace of God. By the grace of God, I'm gonna bounce back. And that's because, you know, there's things that have happened in the past where, you know, it's just the process. The process builds you. So the healing and the end was good, but yeah, the process was a bigger testimony for me. Okay, I've spoken a lot about the wins and the highlights of my year. I didn't talk about my PhD. Yes, so I thank God I got the PhD offer that I wanted. Of all the applications that I did, I think I did about 10 applications, PhD applications, between 2020, after summer 2020 down to summer 2021, and this one that I got was my most preferred, was the one that was like, oh, more, it's so in line with what I'm doing, it's so in line with my master's thesis, it's the school that I wanted, it's in a business school, which is what I wanted, and it's in a country that I was just like, this is it. And I didn't really believe that I was going to get it. I'm going to be very honest and factual, but I thank God that I did. And I wrote about the process somewhere. I'm going to link it in the description box. I don't know if that's what it's called here. So that was a major win for me as well. So yeah, those are the wins that I had in last year. I'll be this year, not last year. We're still in 2021. And I'll move on to two other sections and that'll be it. So I wanted to talk a little bit about my finance and how my mindset concerning my finance evolved this year. So before, I used to think about money as gather money. I really just wanted money, right, to do stuff, which is okay. It's okay for you to need money for whatever. But this year, my mindset concerning money started to change from a place of ownership to a place of stewardship, and I'll explain what I mean. So I started to see that as a Christian. Okay, so guys, I know that not everyone listening to this is Christian, but please bear with me. My faith is a huge part of my life, so it's really hard for me to talk about my life without my faith, if you get what I mean. So I started to think about money early in the year as a trust. I started to think about my life as a trust in that, you know, my time, the resources that I have, money, whatever, my talents, my giftings, were all given to me by God. And I'm going to have to give account, you know, at some point. So when I read the story of the talents, and there was a guy that was given 5 talents, the other guy was given 2 talents, and one was given 1 talent. The 5 and the 2 guys multiplied their own, and the one with the 1 talent went to hide it somewhere because, I don't want to kind of lose this man's money, it's not cause fight. And I realized that, you know, the master was upset with him. And from the moral of the lesson, I realized that the fear of not being productive, fear of what people will say, fear of losing your money or your talent or whatever it is not valid reason enough for you not to shine your light. And it's not valid reason enough for you not to be fruitful. And so I started to think about money from the aspect of stewardship and saying, if the Lord is giving to me 100%, apart from my tithe, which a lot of people debate about, I'm not really in for that, what else am I giving to the kingdom of God? What else from that money am I sharing to people around me that are needy? How is my heart responding to that random person on Twitter who needs money for a surgery? How am I responding to the guy that I'm passing on the road who is homeless and is in the cold? And I started to realize that the money that God gives me is not for me alone. It's not like I didn't know before, but this year it was really huge change of mindset that I experienced. And so I started to give a lot. Like, I started to give a lot, you know, to the things of God, but even to random people I don't know. You know, I just see a need and I just meet it. And to be honest, like, you guys, since I started to do that, I'm not saying God is Baba Ije, but when you give one, he'll give you 100. I don't roll like that. It is true that God does reward, but I don't think that should be your motivation to give. When you start to give from that perspective, sometimes it can be selfish. Yeah, so you're giving so that you get back. No, sometimes you just give because you love, sometimes you just give because you're compassionate, sometimes you just give because you're grateful and you want to be a blessing to other people. So yes, that's one part. And then the other part was me considering
seriously thinking about investments, because before I was just content to save, but now I'm realizing that if I'm going to be a good steward, I can't just save. I have to think about reasonable ways to invest my money and actually start to invest my money. And I want to do a quick shout out to my friends here. Shout out to you, AY. They won't know the AY I'm talking about. I know you like to be on the low. Shout out to you, Tolu. Shout out to you, Abby. Abigail, we've not had our session, but still shout out to you. All the amazing people that have been helping me to sort out my investment portfolio and how I'm thinking about money. Thank you, guys. Yeah, so that's a major shift I experienced in my finance this year. And then, what else? Oh, yeah, I wanted to talk a bit about family relationships. Ha, you guys. This year, I realized, and I had to sit myself down and tell myself the truth, that if you want to have thriving relationships, thriving connections with people, there's one thing you need to let go of. You know what that one thing is? Offense. So like I said, I had really low lows this year, like low lows, and there's kind of a way that I expected, you know, my family and my friends to show up for me. And no, actually, let me leave my family out of this. It was majorly friends. And you know, at a point I was upset, but the truth of the matter is I was sharing with one of the guys on the podcast. You would listen to me in like 2 days time. And I was saying that when I had the surgery on that day, I think I was still laughing on my status. When I got back, I was in pain, I couldn't move, but I had nothing to do, so I was joking on my status. And you would not know that I had just had a surgery. And it's one thing to now be upset and I'd be like, nobody even called me. But they didn't know. The same way that I don't even know what's going on in a lot of people's lives beyond what I see on their status. How many times have I picked up my phone to call somebody unprovoked? I didn't see anything on their status, nothing. It's not like they were missing and now I'm now missing them. No, I just pick up my phone and call, and I realized that, you know, it's easy for you to judge and be like, oh, nobody called me, I went off social media, nobody even noticed I was off. Fam, people are dealing with stuff. So I made a mindset shift from offense and having all the expectations in the world to now implementing, right? So if I was feeling low or sad because my friends were not there for me when I was going through a difficult time, I made it a point of duty that if there was anyone around me that was going through a difficult time, I was going to bombard them with love. To the extent I'd be like, hey Uzi, I think it's okay, don't send me any more food, I'm fine, don't call me again, I think I'm good. And that's the point that I've gotten to right now in my friendships and relationship with people. You know, there's the mindset that a lot of people have on Twitter, and say, you know, I say Twitter because that's why I see all these things. Nobody owes you stuff, nobody da 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 da. And I don't even know if that's healthy. You know, in a healthy relationship, I think it's okay to have expectations, but it is also okay if these expectations are not met for you to be graceful. Now, having said that, there's certain kind of relationships that this don't apply to in my own world. Like, so for instance, if you're my business partner, or you're my partner, someone I'm looking to get married to, or you're what, I don't know, and we're working on something together, please, you owe me sense. You owe me money, especially if you're my business partner. You owe me to show up. That one doesn't apply to you. So there's certain relationships like that obviously you can't, you know, I mean, joke around with and just say, you know, people don't owe you stuff and all. But I'm learning that in all things, this year I've had to let go of certain relationships that weren't just working again for me. And I've had to forgive and forgive again of relationships I treasure, but people just don't show up. And, you know, learn to just forgive and live with it. Talk about it to some that are willing to talk about, and to others, just choose to just be there for them, regardless of if they're there for you or not. Just be there. And yeah, that's how it's been in that regard. But I've made amazing friends. I didn't really make a lot of friends this year, and I'm hoping to change that next year, God helping me. So if you see me on the road, if I'm removing my eyes, pull my eyes back and say, Oziama, call me please, like, I'm very shy. But yeah, I'm hoping to make more friends, and this year I'm hoping to deepen connections with the ones that I have, and to show up more and to check in more, because that's one thing that I felt like I didn't experience a lot this year. So yes, that's it. Overall lessons from 2021, I would say, be bold to go for what you want. You see those things that you see, those jobs you want to apply for and you think you can, you are not qualified, apply. Let me tell you, all the other people applying, they say if they are not qualified. How many people are qualified out of all of them? So you say, go and apply, shoot your shot though. I say it all the time, like, this year shooting my shot has paid off. Hey God. Oh, I didn't even talk about the internship I got at World Bank. Yeah, that was another win for me. And it's just shoot your shot. And dare to believe, if there's a dream that God has placed in your heart, whether it's to go back to school, whether it's to build something, to do something, NGO, whatever it is, dare to believe and dare to trust God that, you know, that thing is possible. And an act or a response of trusting God is actually making a move. You can't say you trust God and you're not doing anything about it. You can't say you trust God and you're not applying. How's it going to happen? Tell me. So yes, I think the third lesson that I learned is to be kind to myself. Sometimes I get a bit too hard on myself, so I'm learning to be kind, and to be graceful to myself, and that's also something I'm extending into 2022. I'm also learning self-awareness. So I'm also learning self-awareness, you know, learning myself. This year was the time that I took out time to really learn about myself. What are my triggers? What are the things that I deal with at home? What are the things that I cannot deal with, that cannot coexist in the same place with me? What are the things that I love? What are the things that excite my soul? What are the things I'm afraid of? And how do I explore them more to get rid of those fear? So those were the things that I did in the year 2021. And how can I take care of myself better, you know? Yeah, so here 2022 will be a year of also learning myself some more, extending more grace to myself, shooting my shots more, trusting God more. Yeah, one final lesson. 2021 taught me to not hold back on whatever it is that I want to do. So you see this podcast series that I've been doing. In fact, the whole podcast thingy, I didn't check how my stats have been. I don't check it. I just put out the content, share on whatever social platform, media platforms, and then move on with my life. I don't even push it as I ought to. And one time I checked and I was like, oh my God, I know it doesn't look like big stats to a lot of people, but 2k listens. How have I had 2,000 listens on this small podcast that I didn't even think about a lot? And it just made me think about the fact that a lot of times we hold back on things that people might enjoy, might be beneficial to people, just because you're worried about how people will judge you. And so I'm leaving all of that in 2021. So 2022 will be more of me putting out content, values, and value adding content, whether it's one person that sees it or it's 1 million people that see it, that I've seen it. It's just the fact that I'm doing something that is of value and something that's important to me. And so that's what that is about. So you guys, I hope that through my ranting you've been able to pick one or two things from my 2021 story. And I'm inviting you to please join me on the next couple of days, listening, you know, to other people's stories as well. Honestly, you guys, these people have really inspired me. I listen to their own conversations, or when I have these conversations with them, so I'm very sure that I will be value adding to you as well. So Merry Christmas again. Me, I've eaten only once today, but I think I have a small stomach. I can't eat a lot at once, and it's really annoying because the food I've eaten since around noon now has refused to go down. Here noon, I'll be 1 o'clock, so I'm not hungry, and I know I have to eat so much more because 7 days will soon start. But anyways, I hope that you guys have a lovely day, night, and I hope that you enjoy the rest of your holidays. Thank you so much for listening. You guys made my year, and thank you. Bye.